Praise to you and peace this evening from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Shepherd. Amen. Well, we're on the eve of 2010, new year to begin, and we're at the very end of a passing away year, 2009. I got to start out by saying, where is this year gone? Seems like we were just here last year. Celebrating the beginning of 2009. We must have had a lot of fun this year because time certainly flew. And it can also, I think, happen to fly when we're very busy. And it's been a very busy year, full of many things. But here we are at the intersection or the crossing over from one year, and we're about to begin a new year in the Lord. And you might be wondering, what is this new year going to hold for me? We can look back and know what God gave us in 2009, but how about the new year? Can we be sure what will bring, good or evil? Will it be for you personally the best of times or the worst of times? None of us can answer that question of ourselves, but I'll tell you what, God has a good word for you tonight to give you assurance of a great year in the year 2010, and we'll talk about how we can be certain of that in the Lord. And God, I'm sure, wants to give us great blessings in this year ahead. So let's see what God says about how we can make the most of this year. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 to begin with. There in verse 15, Paul says this, and God through him, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." So, God says to us here that we ought to make the most of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And we've looked at the news over the last year. The days are evil, right? And in the year 2010, the days are going to remain evil. And yet, what does God say? He wants us to make the most of the time. In other words, that they be filled with good in the midst of the present evil age. And God will do that for us. So we want to walk then as wise people, making the most of the time, not, what does it say here? Getting drunk. As what many people are going to do tonight. So you are in the right place. I'm thankful you're here. We're going to do the will of the Lord. He has called us here to be wise, to make the most of the time. Now, how can we make the most of the time? Well, the first thing I think we need to realize is that 2010 is not forever. It's one year. It's 365 days. And our time is limited, both in 2010 and for our lifetimes. We don't live on forever. And this is helpful for us to make the most of it. For in Psalm 90, it says, "The years of our life are 70, and even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." Have you numbered your days? Do you know? You will live forever in Christ, but your days on this earth are numbered. Psalm 139, "In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me." How about James chapter 4, verse 14? What is your life? "For you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes," says James. Psalm 102, "My days are passing like smoke and my bones burn like a furnace." Job said in Job 7, verse 7, "Remember that my life is a breath." So we don't live on forever. 2010 is limited, so we want to make the most of every day, every precious second. Now, what if I could guarantee you right now $86,000 a day to spend? $86,400. $86,400 a day to spend, and that every day at the end of the night, whatever you spent couldn't be saved till the next day. You just get another $86,400. What would you do with $86,400? Would you spend it? You try to spend everything you could, right? Well, guess what? You have 86,400 seconds in every day. And you can't save them up for tomorrow. They're the only ones you get for this 24 hours. So we ought to spend them all in useful pursuits. And many people end up getting living too fast. You ever hear that country song? I'm in a hurry to get things done, and I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really need to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. You know, terrible rendition. Okay, all right. The point is, you can get really fast and caught up in all kinds of things in this life and miss the next year. The other thing you can do is live not too fast, but too slowly. I think of, for example, procrastination. There's a book that we have at home called Break the Procrastination Habit. And it's on Beth's bookshelf. And it's a great book. And I'm hoping to read it one of these days. But God also doesn't want us to waste our time not doing anything. He doesn't want us to be so busy that we miss out on life. What God wants is that we would make the most of the time being wise in these evil days, using our days in the best way. So how might you do that? This is a great time of the year to take a little break, sit down, take a deep breath, and think about what you want from this year. Remember when I graduated from college? It was like the starting gun went off, and all my friends ran out and got jobs immediately. And I was left in the dust at the starting line. The dust settled, and there's Greg sitting on the ground, wandering through the woods, reading the Bible, and going on ships, and not really having a career, thinking to myself, what is life really about, though? They've all gone off running in this direction and that direction, and they're really going fast, but where are they running? And I thought to myself, what do I want to get out of life? And that was really how I became a pastor eventually, is the things a pastor does for me are what I want to spend my time doing. And that's what we ought to do with looking at the beginning of this next year. What do you want to get out of it, or what do you want to give to the Lord in it to have a full year? But does this guarantee you a good year? To simply lay out some good priorities for yourselves? That doesn't actually guarantee you a good year at all. In fact, Gentiles, that is, unbelievers, do that, don't they? I just met a lady on the boat 2 days ago, came out on a charter in the cold, and she had a plan to write down 101 things she wanted to do in her life. And she's going to try to get all these 101 things done. She thought she'd be happy. She may get them done, she may not. Does it guarantee her happiness? No. In fact, a lot of things don't work out very well in life the way we think they will. And it says in Job, man that is born of woman has but few days and they are full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Right? Have you experienced that? Well, how can we be sure then that 2010, as we're living it wisely, will be a good year? I can tell you there's only one answer. It's Jesus and the Lord. And walking day by day closely by faith in Him. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're following a Lord who wants to lead you and promises to. Let's hear what Jesus says here in the Old Testament. Isaiah 42, verse 16, God says, and I will lead the blind in a way they know not, in paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I'll turn darkness before them into light and rough places into level ground. Will God give you a great year based on this verse? He'll turn darkness into light? Right. How about Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Is our God a leading God? He leads His people. Isaiah 30, verses 20 to 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, for you may have very difficult times this year, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Do you like that this year? You may be going through great valleys this year. I'm not promising you a great year like, oh, everything's going to be peachy keen and smooth. But I can tell you, you'll have a great blessed year because the Lord is a leading God. He's our shepherd. And He has promised to lead His sheep who are not always too smart, not too quick on the uptake up here. But we want to wander over here. We want to wander there. He says, come this way. We're going through this dark woods here. I'm going to lead you on to green pastures beside still waters. Sometimes we'll be in the heat of a battle and a fight. Sometimes a temptation this year you'll face. But the hope, the joy, the assurance, the comfort we have in looking ahead to 2010 is this, that Jesus Christ is with us, with His people. He leads us. And how does He lead us? Look at this in Numbers chapter 9. I love this. Pete read this a few minutes ago. There's the Old Testament in Moses in the with the tabernacle in the wilderness. On the day that the tabernacle or the tent was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was continually. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel encamped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. At the command of the Lord, they encamped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge and didn't set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle. According to the command of the Lord, they remained in the camp. Then, according to the command, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained evening until morning. When the cloud was taken up in the morning, they set out. In other words, when God leads us, sometimes He's like, hurry, come on this way. The cloud was only over for one day or one night, and then we're going on the next day. Other times, it says they waited for an entire month and didn't move. And yet, God was leading them in both cases, right? You know, in 2010, God's going to do the same with you. He leads His people this way. Sometimes He says, hurry, quickly, now this way. And other times He says, now just wait, be patient. I know you're in suffering and affliction, but I have my purposes, and I'll deliver you in time. You know, God, Jesus, He's with us, and we want to be patient with Him. Sometimes, we live life too fast, too slow, but if we are following the Lord, the pace is always perfect. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's preach the word, be urgent, in season and out of season. Other times He says, it's the Sabbath day. 6 days you should work, now you rest. Take it easy. Come away with me unto a lonely place and let us together rest a while. So we want to be sensitive to let the Lord set the pace. Let the Lord be the leader. He's our shepherd this year. And we have this confidence, Psalm 25, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His commandments and His testimonies. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph, and through Him spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Pastor Menicky, you know, happy to have you back tonight. You were here for 21 years. I was in a hurry to get things done. I was rushing and rushing till life was no fun in seminary. I want to get through. And, I went to 3 seminaries. It seemed really long. The cloud was hovering over the tabernacle for months when I'm in seminary, 7 years full time. I wanted to get it done. Something's wrong here, Lord. You're not moving fast enough. But if I moved any faster, what would happen? I wouldn't be here tonight, would I? I would have been way through seminary, way before you were ready to retire. And I wouldn't have the blessing of being in this congregation. And so you got to understand this year, let the Lord lead you. And when you do let Him lead you, it's not like you can see a fire resting over the church or over your Suburban out there. And, when the cloud is taken up from the Suburban, you know, you can go. Well, maybe if your car's not working and it's smoking, that's different. You know, but how then do we follow the Lord? If we're going to have a year with Jesus Christ, the invisible God, leading us, how do we do it? I'll tell you. Here's what you can do, is be in His Word. What's it say in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and following? It says, they entered a village. Martha received him into her house. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His word. Martha was distracted with much serving. She went to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. If Martha were to live this way for 2010, she'd miss the whole thing. Amen? But Mary wouldn't have missed it. She was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to his word, to his teaching. Now I want to ask you tonight and challenge you, since God has obviously by his will led you here tonight, wasn't your decision, although you may think it was, God himself wanted you to be here tonight to hear this message. And what he wants for you is to set his word before you this year. I challenge you this year, if you have not been doing it, read at least a chapter of the Bible every day. I'm not just saying, okay, that's a good idea, Pastor, I agree. No, if you're here tonight, this is my challenge to you. A chapter of the Bible a day, or read from Portals of Prayer once a day and read the readings that are in it. Because if we're going to be led by Jesus Christ, and I'm coming to the close, so pay attention. If we're going to be led by Jesus Christ this year, then we've got to be sitting at his feet, listening to his word. Because his word, the unfolding of it, gives light. It's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And it's by this, that he as the shepherd leads us through the valley unto Mount Zion. So I am looking forward to a great year with you. And in conclusion, we'll have this verse from John chapter 10, which promises that as Jesus has made a way for us to the Father through his cross, through his shed blood, through his resurrection and ascension, so also he has said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. The Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus, our good shepherd, lead us in your name. Amen.